I've been meditating in Mark chapter 11 over the past few weeks, and when I was asked to speak tonight, I thought that perhaps we might take up this passage and just have a short meditation in it. So the reading is Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now the incident here is, as we know, Jesus had cursed the fig tree because he found no fruit on it. And a little later, when he was coming along with his disciples, they were rather amazed because the fig tree had dried up from the roots. Now this is rather unusual, that it should shrivel up so soon. And they were astonished. And the first thing that Jesus said to them was, "Have faith in God." And I believe that that was the word that he gave them to introduce what he was going to say to them straight away afterwards. Because I believe that Jesus was going to teach them one of the most important lessons that any person that is a Christian can learn. But first of all, I'd like to say that in the scriptures we read that there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. Our faith, as we know, is a supernatural gift of God. And it is given to every person that is brought under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit, and is brought to a sense of their sin and need, and it enables that person to trust in God to the degree that pleases God. And as a reward, then God rewards them with the priceless gift of his own Son as their Savior and Lord. And all the other blessings and privileges that go along with sonship in the family of God. And I believe that the only obstacle to this degree of faith is Satan's counterattack, doubt. Oftentimes in the scriptures we find that Jesus says, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" We know when he went into his own village, although he was the Lord God manifested in the flesh, although he could perform any miracle and do anything, yet because of doubt in the hearts of the people that he knew, he couldn't perform any mighty miracle there, in that place. Now there are two realms that we know of. One is the physical realm and the other is the spiritual realm. And living in this world, we are in both realms. We've got to live in this life and we've got to earn our living. And we... while we're here in the flesh, we have natural faith, which we exercise every day. This is the kind of faith which is the common lot of all men. And all men exercise this kind of faith. We probably exercised it coming here tonight. We hopped in our car and turned the key and expected it to go. We expected to get here, and we did get here. We sat down in the seat and we expected it to hold our weight and things like that. And every moment of every day, we're exercising this faith. But the ungodly exercise this faith too. And we get so used to exercising this natural faith that it is quite possible, I suppose, for us to be so used to exercising this natural faith that we can come along to a prayer meeting like this and continue exercising our natural faith, even when we come before God. And... But this faith, this natural faith, is mighty because great things can be accomplished by it. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that anything that that man can believe that he can do and not doubt in his heart, he is able to do it, providing the course lies within the existing laws of the universe, the forces and the abilities that are available to man. We found that out in recent years when man has set his heart on getting up there onto the moon, and many people says, oh, it's ridiculous, you can't get up there. But there are those that have said, we believe we can get up there. And others have said, you can't, it's impossible. And some have said, no, we don't think it's impossible. If we had the means to do it, we could get there. And so a great battle of arguments took place over a number of years. But the time came when the facilities were there. And the faith that man had in his ability to get there was put into operation. And he got there. And now he has got his eyes set further afield. But this faith, great and powerful though it may be, does not operate, and this is important, it does not operate to the accomplishment of anything at all in the spiritual realm. So that means to say that if we exercise this kind of faith in spiritual matters, then we cannot expect God to answer our prayer. And I would say that all Christians have an abundance of this kind of faith. And so do the ungodly have an abundance of this kind of faith. And we exercise it when we pray sometimes, as I just said a few moments ago. And the fact is that because it is faith that operates in the physical, material world, this earth realm, then we cannot expect God to be able to grant us our request, no matter how sincere we might be. And of course, increase of this kind of faith will profit us very little as Christians, because for the most part this kind of faith consists of a very strange mixture. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it and analysed it, but natural faith consists of a mixture of knowledge, experience, observation, experimentation, hope, doubt and self-will. You just sit down and analyse it and you'll find out that natural faith, which we exercise every day, is a strange mixture of all these things. And therefore we can see that when we try to exercise this kind of faith in regard to spiritual matters, then it is we're making it very difficult for the Lord to grant our requests. Now in Mark chapter 11, the passage which we've just read, in verses 22 to 24, when Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God, he was not referring to this kind of faith at all. He was referring to faith far above and far superior to that faith which is natural to us all. He was referring to supernatural faith. He was referring to and speaking about miracle-working faith, mighty faith, that faith which was given to us right at the very start of our conversion, which brought salvation to us in the first place, into the life of the believer, and that if continued will to be exercised in our life will bring to pass in our life things which seem to be impossible, and they will become possibilities to us by the exercise of this mighty power. You see, it's when God first gave us this faith to believe the gospel, it was a completely different thing altogether to our natural faith. The man of the world who is not the Christian knows nothing at all about this faith. When a person says, I believe God, I believe in the resurrection, I believe in Christ, as we heard our brother saying the other night, that his wife said, I believe all of these sort of things. I believe them. And that was true, but that is completely different than the faith that God gives to a sinner when the Holy Spirit brings them under conviction of sin and gives them faith to believe the gospel. When we exercise this kind of faith, we find out that our prayer requests will be speedily answered. Now, I know the majority of us find out that our prayer requests are very, very slow to be answered. Very often we wonder whether our prayers have just gone up there and bounced up and down back. When we exercise this faith, we'll find out that we'll be pray for the salvation of precious souls, and we will see precious souls being saved. speedily. God is not a God that wants to keep us waiting for years and years and years and years to sort of tantalize us, to cause us to come to Him almost like beggars, when we realize that we've entered into sonship and we're sons and not beggars. And we'll pray for sick people and we'll see a lot of them restored to health too. We'll see the backslider and the cold and the indifferent coming back and being restored. Now the difference between the faith, this faith and the other faith we've been talking about, is the fact that this faith which we're talking about is of God. And it is centered in God. And comes into the heart by no other means and in no other way than by hearing the word of God. The scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the faith that believes in God, what I said earlier on, is miracle working faith. The faith that works miracles in our life is faith that is given of God, is centered in God, and it comes by hearing the word of God. Now we can sit in a meeting and we can hear sermon after sermon after sermon. We can read our Bibles and we can read passages after passages after passages. We can read the same passage over and over again, and we can have our ears closed and hear nothing. Now what I mean by this is, you see, we can be so wrapped up in prejudices and so wrapped up in our own ideas that we cannot hear the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. Jesus often said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And so we can hear sermon after sermon, we can read the word as often as we like, and we can have our ears closed. But the Bible says plainly that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the faith that we're talking about tonight is of God, and is centered in God, and it comes in no other way. Often you'll hear people saying, "I wish I had more faith. I wish I had the faith that that man's got. I wish I had the faith to do this." But they don't realize that that person that's got that faith has got into the Word of God, and they've read the Word of God, and the Spirit of God has spoken to their heart, and the Spirit of God has shown them what God is like, who God is, what God can do, the might and the power and the majesty of God, and what God is willing to do for us who are His sons and His daughters. Sons of God and heirs of God according to the promises of God. You see, I think we forget sometimes that God deals with us quite differently as sons. We ourselves, as fathers, we deal quite differently with our own sons than we would do with any other children. As a matter of fact, we give to our own sons privileges and things which we would never even think of giving to other children. And we're just natural fathers, of course. But God is our Heavenly Father. Now, in salvation, God performs in our lives one of the greatest miracles. And how does He do this? He does this by bringing a person to the operation of His Holy Spirit to a point or a place of desperation. A place of desperation and need. And to a realization that God, and God only, is the one that can do anything for them at all. And God, and God only, is the one that can meet the need. God, and God is the only one that can meet the need, and according to the word of God, He will do it immediately, permanently, and forever. Now that is the faith that God gives to a newborn babe in Christ. When God has brought a person under conviction, He gives them faith, because we have no initial faith, we have natural faith. But natural faith will not accomplish anything so far as spiritual matters are concerned. So God gives us faith to believe the gospel. God brings us to a place of desperation and need, and a realization that God alone is the one that has got the power and the might and the majesty to perform that miracle in our lives. And so the faith that God gives us is directed in its entirety right back to its source, to God Himself. And we cry out to God, and God honors that faith and performs a miracle in our life, and honors it with His personal intervention in our life. Now that is the kind of faith that we're talking about tonight. And like he did it in the lives of great men and women that we read of in the book of Hebrews, who trusted God in this way, whose faith was centered in God. God who answers not necessarily prayers. God doesn't necessarily answer prayers. There's thousands and thousands of prayers that are offered up to God which are practically of no value. The Lord himself says we think that we'll be heard for our much speaking. So God does not necessarily answer prayers. But God answers faith. God answers faith. I know when I was a child, I don't know how my mother stood with God, but I believe that she was a woman of great faith. And I know when any crisis happened in our home, she used to say, "You'll have to fend for yourselves, I'm going down to the church, I want to go and before the Lord." And she would go away. And she would be away perhaps about an hour and she would come back. Now she believed God. She trusted God. And I've seen miracles happening in our own family. Quite a few. I've got a sister at the present moment who was given up by 7 doctors. And my mother was told she's dying. Get the priest. Well, she's alive today. She's alive today. I've seen so many things happening. But you see, the faith that we're talking about is faith that is centered in God. It's not a mixture like natural faith. We believe that there is a God because we can see the things that he's done with our natural faith. We've been taught it. We believe that these things are strong and we can sit on them because we've got our eyes to see that they're strong and to see that they're well built and things like that. But when it comes to God, the kind of faith that we're talking about is a faith where we trust in God, although we cannot see these things. It is a faith that is directed in its entirety to its source. Now this is the kind of faith that God gives us right at the very beginning of our Christian lives. And strange to say, I think with many of us, somehow, somewhere along the line, as we begin to go and grow in our Christian life, we begin to lose sight of this kind of faith. And we begin to get certain hang-ups about things. So that we don't come to God with the simplicity that we did in the beginning. Where we put our total dependence in God. And commit the thing to God. You see, when we come to God for salvation, we committed it to God and we didn't doubt. Somebody might have led us to Christ and they say, "Well, look, God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is what the Word of God says." And we believed it in our desperation. And we trusted in the Lord. And we believed that God saved us. Now, many of us didn't feel anything happening in our lives. We didn't feel any different. We just felt in some sense that God was true and perhaps every man a liar. And we went our way. But the fact was that as the days went by, the signs followed. Because we began to find the transformation in our lives. But God didn't give us the evidence or the signs at the moment when we trusted and believed him. These things followed after. We didn't feel anything and we were told to take no notice of feelings. You know? And Jesus, when Peter was coming to him in the boat, looked at the circumstances and he began to sink. And when we are led to Christ, we are told not to look at our feelings and not to look at the appearances, but to believe God, to trust completely in what God says. And that is the kind of faith we're talking about. Now, in our text, Mark 11, 22, 24, Jesus says in effect, "Do you want to prevail with God? Do you want to prevail with God? Well, if you do, have faith in God." Have faith in God. Don't have faith in faith. Don't have faith in our education or our Bible college education. Don't have faith in our position in the church or the assembly. Don't have faith in anything but God. Do you want to prevail with God? Well, have faith in God. That was the first thing he said. Do you want to do many mighty exploits for God? Do you want Him to perform miracles for you to enable you to be a mighty worker for Him? Do you want His word to be a word of authority in your mouth? Do you want your prayer life to be fruitful for God? Do you want your Christian life to be exciting and thrilling? Well, then right here in this passage that we read is the answer to that desire. Have faith in God and realize, as the scripture says, that God is no respecter of persons, because He says, whosoever, let's see what the passage says. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now Jesus was not speaking about a figurative mountain. He was speaking about this mountain, the mountain right there. And I suppose if we think of that mountain, it would probably be hundreds of thousands of tons of stones and clay and dirt and turf. And to look at that mountain, it would probably take months and months and months of activity to remove it. Now, I know we use this passage to speak about the mountain of problems in our life and the mountain of sin in our lives and so forth. And this is a correct application too. But I believe in this incident, Jesus was not speaking figuratively. He was speaking about an actual mountain. And he said about this mountain that if you've got this kind of faith in God, the faith that does not doubt, absolute faith in God, then you can say to this mount, this great big massive gigantic hunk of stones and dirt and what have you, be thou removed and be thou planted into the sea, and it will obey you. Now the mind and the imagination of us poor sinful creatures cannot comprehend this. Yet we believe that God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be vegetation and all these sort of things, and they came into existence by the word of God. We believe that God did that. We say that God created the universe in 7 days, 7 literal 24-hour days. And yet we find it hard to believe when Jesus says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou planted in the sea, it will obey you. What we forget is it is God that is going to do the work and do the miracle. And for God to get hold of a mountain and plant it in the sea is no problem to Him. As a matter of fact, it would probably be a very easy thing to God to do such a thing. As a matter of fact, our God is so mighty that anything would be easy to Him. And I firmly believe that faith honors God. I believe that faith is the highest form of worship as we could ever offer to God. Because when we have faith in God, we say that God is true. We say that God is mighty. We say that God is powerful. We acknowledge His majesty. We acknowledge His lordship. As a matter of fact, we acknowledge everything. And that is why I believe that God honors faith above all else. Because it is through faith that we are saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it is through faith that we receive God's salvation. But then how do we enter into this kind of faith? How do we begin to see miracles happening in our lives? How do we begin to see souls getting saved and answers to our prayers? Well, as I said before, by reading the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God, by looking into the Word of God to find out what God does say about this important matter. Because, you know, if we have not got faith in this assembly, we can do things and we can preach to our heart's content. And we can pray and we can do all sorts of things, and it will just be empty activity. Because God cannot honor faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. If we have not got faith, then we cannot please God. And the faith that we want is the faith that is centered in God and completely relies totally upon God and not upon ourselves. It is not a mixture of what we think or what we believe even. It's a matter of realizing that God is God and that God has made promises to us, and God, when he made those promises to us, meant exactly what he says. And then we need to get to know God. We need to get to know his power and his faithfulness and his might. We need to get to know that God is faithful to his promises. He doesn't say a thing in here where you've got to be a philosopher to understand it. What is written in the Word is simple, that the simple man can understand. We know there are many deep truths in the Word of God, but the Word of God read and believed as it is written is plain and simple. Over in Timor and places like that, people have come to know the Lord and they've taken the Word of God literally. And miracles have happened no end over there. Mighty things have happened over there which we've never seen happening in this country, because they have taken God simply at his word and says, well, God says it and that's it. I believe what God says and I'm trusting God for what he says. And they've taken it that way. Well, I don't know whether their interpretation has been right in every case, but God has honored their faith mightily. And they've seen mighty miracles happening over there. Things which will stagger the imagination. And we should listen to testimonies. Testimonies of missionaries who tell us about things that God has done in answer to this kind of faith. We need to read the life stories of great men of God, men of faith. Men of faith who have gone out and trusted God in this way. Now, you know, if we don't study and look into these things, well, then faith is not going to come, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes to us by hearing of what God is doing in the lives of other people. And when we begin to read these things and see that God does honor faith, then the Spirit of God begins to create faith in our own hearts. And we're not satisfied with the superficial faith that is on the surface. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as this passage says, have faith in God, and this is priority number one. And that is why Jesus emphasized it by giving it first place as the foundation of what he had to say after to his disciples. It is more important, in fact, than witness. It's more important than testimony. It's more important than service. It's more important that we have faith in God. And without it, as I just said previously, all these other things are just empty activity and powerless and profitless labor. So, having said that, if this message has really meant anything at all to us tonight, we should have come to the realization that God wants us to have faith in him in this way. Faith that is centered not in self, but centered in God. Now my faith, no matter how great it is, can do nothing. But the faith that he implants in my heart, if I really want to please God, if I really want to see God working mightily in my life, and each one of us should, so that we might see the power of God in our midst, then I need to seek his face, that I might see that same miracle working faith in my own life. Now the word of God, as we've just read, it means exactly what it says. Whosoever, in the passage we read, means you, and it means me. The promise is not limited as to any particular period in time. The power is always available, because it is the power of God. The conditions never change. It says, have faith in God. So, knowing these things, let us, perhaps from now onwards, begin to seek God in this way, that we might have faith as we had it right in the very beginning of our conversion. Faith that was so simple, so trusting, that we just absolutely cast ourselves on the Lord. So when we bring a request to the Lord now, let us come to him in that way. Not looking at the circumstances, not looking at our preconceived ideas, but looking at the Word of God. And if we do that, well, then we realize that the power is of God and the honour is of God, and the glory is His, and the joy and the peace and the rest and the privilege is ours. May God bless us.